For our Bible readings this afternoon, we turn first to the book of 1 Samuel and the 10th chapter of that book. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to read the first 16 verses of the chapter. The passage begins, if you need the page number, on 279 in our church Bibles. Samuel has been talking with Saul, and then we read, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the place, the high place, with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down from before me to Gilgal. And behold, I'm coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do.' When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, 'What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?' And the man of the place answered, 'And who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?' When he finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, 'Where did you go?' And he said, 'To seek the donkeys.' And when he saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, 'Please tell me what Samuel said to you.' And Saul said to his uncle, 'He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We shall now turn together to Mark's Gospel and to the 8th chapter of that gospel. the first 10 verses. Let us hear the word of God as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, you are indeed everything we long for. And Lord, how we thank you that you've given us your word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Lord, we thank you that you call us to be those who live according to your word, out of great gratitude to you for the most glorious salvation that you lavish upon us in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We're going to focus our thoughts in these moments on the first 9 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 10. And here, as you can very quickly see, we read of the anointing of Saul by Samuel, the prophet of God. Indeed, that's how the chapter begins, with the words, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince?'" Yes, here we have Samuel, at this point in private, dealing in this way with Saul. The first point that we want to note from this is the obedience of Samuel, the servant of Almighty God. The obedience of God's servant. That is a great theme that we find repeated time and time again in Scripture. God's people, Christian believers like you and me, assuming that that is what you truly are called to lives of obedience. "If you really love me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, you will keep my commands." Samuel was commanded to make set Saul aside as king. Now you'll recall from the earlier chapters that Samuel had a problem. In his own heart, he didn't like what the people were demanding. And we know precisely why he didn't like what they were demanding. They wanted to be like the nations around about. And as God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're in effect rejecting me as their king. But yet nonetheless, you are to appoint a king for them. Well, here we see this man being obedient. And if we just go back for a few moments into chapter 9, I know that we had chapter 9 before us last week, but let's just remind ourselves of how that chapter ends. We read verse 27, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant — Saul was with a servant of Kish, they'd been sent out to look for the donkeys that were lost — tell the servant to pass on before us, and when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God. What is Samuel going to declare? Answer: the word of God. That is what God's servants are called to do. That is how we show that we are his servants, by making known his word. Now, it is absolutely right that we are not in the same position as Samuel. He was a prophet leading the people of Israel in his day. Samuel, in many ways, acted like a judge. And some people have actually called him the last judge of Israel before the coming of the kings. Now we know that Samuel was a man who loved the Lord. And here we see evidence of his ongoing love for the Lord. He is obedient to the will of God. He is sharing with Saul, as God has called him to do, the very word of God. Parents are called to share with their children the word of God. That's where children, first and foremost, enjoy the privilege, if they are the children of Christians. That's where they enjoy the privilege of hearing the word of God, first and foremost. It's not to be given to somebody else to do that for them. Yes, it's true that there may be opportunities in churches for young people's groups, or there may even be opportunities in schools with a Christian character for children to learn the word of God, the first place. For Christian parents, it's their responsibility to teach their children the word of God. Yes, Christians in church will get alongside to help and support, and those working in schools with a Christian ethos can expect some degree of support in that work from teachers at school. Our responsibility, no matter who we are, is to keep God's word. Now you may say, well, I'm not a parent, so you've just used an illustration about a parent that doesn't apply to me. But where are you Where have you been? You, in all likelihood, have family members. Some of them may be brothers or sisters who've married and moved away. Some may be near to you. Some people live with their parents until their parents finish their course here on earth. Whoever we're living with in our homes, be it parents or siblings, our responsibility is to point them to the Saviour. Our responsibility is to share something of the Word of God with them. God's people are called to be obedient, and obedience is seen in keeping His Word, in making known His truth. Here we see Samuel the servant who is obedient. And that's what we see in the opening verse. Now there is an issue that we need to deal with regard to this opening verse. And you can see it referred to in your text. With regard to chapter 10, you will find after the first use of the word prince, the figure 4. And then a little later, you will find the figure 5. And that takes you down to the bottom of the page. And we discover that the figure 4 after the word prince is telling you that the word translated prince could mean leader. But we need to start there, because you will also find when you go to the note, the marginal note number 5, that the Hebrew lacks over his people Israel, and you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies, and this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince. Those words are missing from the Hebrew. So where have we got them from? Why are they here in our Bibles, in this translation? Well, they come from the Septuagint. What's the Septuagint, you say? A Greek translation, an early Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. So it may well be the case, and this is what quite a number of scholars who study these things deeply think. Somehow these words got lost from the Hebrew as copies of the text, the scrolls were made from generation to generation. And that's a reminder to us that human beings are not infallible. It's God's word that is infallible. So quite rightly, we've been told in the margin, these words may be missing. But actually, if you think about it, what these words are pointing to is implicit even in the Hebrew text. So the Hebrew text would be reading, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his heritage?" Everything else would be missing. You see, the verse ends with the words, "over his heritage." Now, what Samuel is saying to Saul is, God's got a purpose for you, Saul. And your purpose is, the purpose that God has for you is that you should lead. Remember that the word prince can be translated leader. You should lead the people of Israel in these days. Yes, you are going to be king, and your job is to lead the people of God, God's heritage. Now, what will that entail? Well, that entails making sure that the people of God are true to God. That's the responsibility that lies upon this man. And this man will be used of God to help these people on the field of battle, because there will be enemies that they face. The people of God in every generation face enemies. We've been reminding ourselves of this, haven't we, on Lord's Day mornings, when we've looked together at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 and the surrounding verses. Yes, God's people face opposition, and God's people need to be helped to remain true and faithful to God. And God raises up teachers and pastors who can help people to understand the word of God. Well, here's a teacher and pastor, Samuel, and here he is teaching and pastoring Saul in the will of God for him. And so it is that when the people of God come to a place of worship such as this, they should be hearing the word of God, helping them to act and live out as a faithful child of God, children of God, day by day. So there we see the obedience of this servant of the Lord, Samuel. Now, the second thing we want to note, and I want you to put yourselves now, as it were, in the feet of King Saul. He's just had a flask of oil poured on his head, and he's just been told with godly affection, for we read of him being kissed as well. A sign of encouragement, of brotherly affection from Samuel to Saul. And he's been informed what his responsibilities will be from this day forward. Now, put yourself, as I say, in his shoes. What had he gone to do? He'd gone to look for donkeys. And whilst he's looking for donkeys, he hears and discovers that he is to be a leader, the leader of God's people. What a contrast! He didn't anticipate this would happen when he set out looking for his dad's lost donkeys. So what does this man need? Well, he's not unlike Moses when Moses began his ministry. He needs a degree of reassurance. Is this really happening? Is this really true? Does God really want me to do this? Well, Samuel is used of God to give a word of reassurance to this man. And that's the second thing we want to notice. The words of reassurance from Samuel, the servant of the Lord. And he speaks, doesn't he, as you can see in these verses, of three signs that shall take place. Now, right from the outset, as we consider these signs, we surely have to say this. We have to say that the details of each and every sign given by Samuel indicate that he has been given a revelation from Almighty God. The details are such that they're beyond a man concocting these things. This is revelation from God. This is God dealing with the prophet. This is God coming to the prophet and saying, look, this is what's going to take place. You must tell Saul this, and Saul will in time, in a short time, quickly discover each and every one of these things happening just as is predicted and declared by Samuel. So we are seeing God at work in a very real and meaningful way for his servant Saul, but also for his servant Samuel, and also for yours and my encouragement. For these things are written for our encouragement and our learning. God is at work building his church. God is looking after his people. And God will raise up servants to serve his people. And God will reassure his servants that they are to fulfill the service that they are called to undertake. They're not to shy away from it. They're to step out in faith and to fulfill it. This man is being prepared for service. Hence these words of reassurance that come through the servant of God called Samuel. So what's the first sign? Now notice it's an immediate sign. Why I say that is because he says, when you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. Now, we don't know where Zelzah was. There is a place near Bethlehem which has been historically known as Rachel's tomb, but that was something that was earmarked as Rachel's tomb by the Crusaders around about 1,000 years ago. Well, that's long after Rachel was buried. We don't know precisely where Rachel's tomb is. But Saul did in his day. It could still be found. And he says, there you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb, and this is what they'll say to you. Now, notice these words. There is mention first of the donkeys, and Saul is going to hear, as he's already heard from Samuel, that the donkeys have been found. So these two men will declare, the donkeys that your dad sent you to seek for have been found. But then there's something else added. And this must surely have been a word of comfort, to a certain extent at least, to Saul. Your dad's no longer worried about the donkeys. Your dad is concerned for you, his son. This is the first sign. They'll meet these two men. He'll meet these two men. And this is what these two men will say to him. Now the servant of Saul and of Kish is ahead. He's gone ahead. That's what Samuel sent him to do at the end of chapter 9, you recall. This is a private conversation that is going on between Samuel and Saul. Your dad is anxious for you. That's natural, isn't it? For a parent to be concerned for the well-being of his child or children. Well, there is sign number one. What is sign number two? Well, you're then going to go on a little farther. So again, this is going to happen in quick succession, in a short period of time. And this time you're going to meet three men by the Oak of Tabor. Three men going up to Bethel. Now note what the men are said to be carrying. You see the details that are given. This isn't something that Samuel could have concocted. This is something that is revealed to him by Almighty God. Three men are going up to Bethel. You'll meet one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. Three men, each carrying different things. But then, note, one of the men, the one with the three loaves of bread, will give two loaves of bread to Saul. And Saul is to accept that bread from that person's hands. He's not given a goat. He's not given wine. He's given two of the three loaves of bread that were being carried. Now we're told later in this chapter, these things came to pass. What's the third sign? The third sign that Samuel says to Saul about is this: you'll come to Gibeath Elohim, the place of God, the hill of God, where there's a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you'll prophesy with them and be turned into another man. In other words, what he's being taught is, you're not going to experience, don't think we have any grounds for arguing this, you're not going to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit in regenerating power. This is not a passage that is talking about regeneration, being born again from above, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, as recorded in John chapter 3. This is power to do the work, power to lead, power to undertake and fulfill the responsibility given by God to him. I think you have to make a distinction between spiritual regeneration on the one hand and being equipped to undertake a responsibility on the other hand. And the whole emphasis here is on him being equipped to be the person who leads the people of Israel. Another thing to note is that there is associated with this prophesying singing. You've got mention of the musical instruments, and you've got mention of singing that takes place. And some people say, well, this prophesying involved the declaring of praises to Almighty God for who he is. And there were people who were so anointed with the Spirit of God that they were able to praise God in this way. That's what some people argue. And there is some merit to that argument that needs to be recognized. Not saying it's the whole answer, whole explanation of what is said here, but it sits comfortably with something of what is said here. And this is what happens, we're told. Each of these three signs, in quick succession, comes about. So here we have the man of God who is obedient to God, telling and proclaiming the word of God. And here we have the man of God who is used of God to reassure Saul that he is to lead the people of Israel. And this little section ends, as you can see, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. So, what you and I discover is that Saul, through the ministry of Samuel, who's been obedient to God and who's been used of God to reassure this man, Saul, by the time we come to verse 9, has a new way of seeing things, a new way of understanding things. He sees that he has a responsibility to lead the people of God. And his responsibility is to be faithful in leading the people of God from the political point of view. He is equipped by God to do that work. Those whom God calls, God equips. There's a simple lesson for you and me to take to heart. God calls you and me to be those who are used of God to spread abroad the good news of Jesus Christ, because we're to go and make disciples of all nations. So we shouldn't be afraid. We should be reassured. God will be with us. And that as we endeavour to open our mouths and speak of the Saviour to others, even in the simplest and in the shortest of sentences, we should be reassured that God will use us. There should be a new heart within us, a heart of trusting in God, a heart of looking to the Lord, a heart that says, I know I'm called of God to serve him. That's the new heart that believers are to have. Now, obviously, yes, we need to be born again of God's Spirit. You're not a true believer unless you're born again from above. So there needs to be that deep spiritual work of transformation in us, which only God can effect. But those brought into the family of God's people are called to serve. And we need to be equipped by God to serve him day by day. And that begins, we're learning from the life of Saul, with a degree of reassurance that we're his and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that's the lessons that we do well to take to heart. Be obedient. Be reassured. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, you have a responsibility to love and serve the Lord Jesus. You may not be called to be the leader of a nation as Saul was. You may not be called to be a prophet or judge as Samuel was. But you are called to love and to serve the Lord right where you are, in your family, in your church, and in the world. And our responsibility is to rest on God, knowing that he is working his purposes out as age succeeds age. That's why Samuel gives these words of reassurance to Saul. Now, as we read on in this book, we discover that the evidence indicates, sadly, that Saul was not a true believer. But nonetheless, he has a responsibility laid upon his shoulders, and he's told to look to God for God to comfort and support and strengthen him and equip him for that work. Well, our responsibility is to look to God in a similar way. And our responsibility is to expect great things from the Lord. But above all, we need to know that we know the Lord Jesus, that we're loving the Lord Jesus, and that we're going to be faithful and true to the Lord Jesus all our days. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, how we thank you for the way you dealt with Saul. How we thank you for the way you used Samuel. How we thank you for the way that Samuel was faithful and obedient to you. How we thank you for the way you enabled Samuel to give a word of encouragement and reassurance to Saul. Lord, may we be obedient to you, and may we be those who are used to give words of reassurance and encouragement to others in the church, and even to speak to outsiders of you, the God of grace and of glory. Lord, without you we can do nothing. So we look to you for your anointing to be upon us. We want to be, O Lord, new men, new women, new people in your service. Oh, bless us. We beseech of you for Jesus' sake. Amen.